Nice. Okay. Well, welcome everyone. Great to see you. We will dedicate our learning today to
Diane Schmeltz.
Diane Schmeltz. You know,
part
okay.
of our
yeah, a member of our group, who apparently passed away. So yeah. So we'll dedicate our learning to her.
This and Shema.
And okay.
It was almost 2 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Is it 2 years? Let's go. Okay, Yisro. We're going to talk a little bit about Yisro. I don't know if that's the right title, but we'll figure it out. Never know. We'll decide afterwards. Vayishma Yisro Kohei Midyan Chosein Moshe Kol Asher Asa Elokim L'Moshel Yisro L'mo. Yisro, the priest of Midyan, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard all that Hashem had done to Moshe and the Jewish people. Ki Yotzia Hashem Es Yisrael Mitzrayim, because Hashem took the Jewish people out of Egypt. So what did he do? And now, so Yisro takes Moshe's wife, Tzipora, after she was sent away. By the way, we don't have anywhere in the Torah that she sent away. We have her come to Egypt. They do a bris milah on their son. We don't hear from them again. And now we're told that she was sent away. So Rashi fills in the blank that at some point they show up and Aaron's like, who's this? He's like, it's my wife and kids. He's like, seriously? More Jews in Egypt? This is a bad idea. Send them back until we're done. And then apparently this is when they bring them back. Fine. Veshnei Vaneha and her two sons, Shershema Echad Gershom, Ki Amar Geyisi Vershino Chirya. Gershom, because he was called, because Moshe said I was a ger in a foreign place. Veshema Echad Eliezer, Ki Elkei Avi Be'ezri, Vaitzalim Bechir Paro, and Eliezer, because he was saved from the sword of Paro. So, but bottom line is, Vayvo Yisro Chosei Moshe Navi Shalom Moshe, and Yisro comes, and everybody comes together. Elam Midbar Shehu Chone Sham Har Lakim. They come to where Moshe and all of Am Yisrael are stationed. Okay, Yisro shows up. He gives Moshe an idea. Right, the first day sit Nishmus whatever, and then Yisro is very upset by what he sees. Right, everyone's coming, and every single person's lining up to meet Moshe. He says, "That's not efficient. That's not going to work." And he has this idea: get multiple people. You'll teach everybody. They'll take the easy questions, and the really hard stuff, Moshe will come to you. And Moshe does exactly what Yisro had offered him. And then what happens at the very end? Vayishlach Moshe es chosno, vayelech et aretzon. And then what happens? Yisro goes home. Interesting. Yisro goes home at the end. Okay? He doesn't stay. So, and by the way, and then after this story, what happens? Har Sinai. Right? The next parak is parak Yotess, where Moshe Rabbeinu talks to Klal Yisrael about, you know, they get to Sinai, and Hashem calls Moshe up, and he tells him what's going to happen, and Moshe goes back and tells the people, this is what's going to be, Nasa v'nishma. They actually just say Nasa. Nasa v'nishma is later, but they said it before, but we're told about it later. And then Moshe, Hashem speaks to Moshe in front of Klal Yisrael, and they get the Torah. Fine. Okay. So, I don't know. What do you think? The story makes sense, it's good, it's fine, it's weird.
Doesn't Yisro show up again later?
We do talk about Yisro later, yes. Yisro's there's some of the stories about Yisro does occur later. Yeah, there's a big discussion machlokes in the Rashi and the Ramban whether this story happened before or after Matan Torah. Uh-huh. Some say it happens after Matan Torah. Others say no, it must have happened before Matan Torah. The problem is if it happens before the Ramban says if it happened before Matan Torah, why is Yisro only sorry if it happened after Matan Torah, why does Yisro only hear about leaving Mitzrayim? He should also have heard of Matan Torah,
right? It also mean that Tzipora and Gershon Eliezer
missed there Matan Torah. Correct.
So I don't buy that.
Yeah, well, it's possible, but, you know.
It definitely belabors the Moshe's father-in-law. It says it like 3 times.
Mm-hmm. We're told many times he's a father-in-law. What else are we told about him?
The Kohen Midian.
Kohen Midian.
So that's what gets, like, first billing as his identity?
Number one, he's Kohen Midian. Second, he's Chosein Moshe. Good.
I'm also curious, like, does just Yitro come? Or, like, do his people come too? People who he kind of presides
as far as under. We know, as far as I've never seen any midrashim that said he brings anybody else with him.
Why would they go though? Like, why?
I don't know, because they like, does the president travel on his own? No, he has like, no.
There's even a midrash that says that when Yisro goes home, why does he go back? The Gayeres Mishpachto. He goes back to like bring Yiddishkeit to these people or a belief in one God or whatever to those people actually. But yeah. Good. So, but I'll ask you another more general question. Why begin the entire story of Matan Torah with Yisro? This story could have... If you argue that the Torah goes in order, right? So then I get it. So I guess like this is what happened first. So you can make that argument at least. But certainly if you hold that the story happened later, so then, right, why in the world are you, it's called Emukta Muchar Batorah, right? The story happened later, meaning the Torah is not a historical, it's not a history book. It is historical, but it's not a history book, right? So the things that are told in the story, we believe happened. But like, it's not there to teach me history, right? So sometimes things go out of order because they're thematically related better, right? It goes better. So if that's true, if the story, let's just say, you assume like Rashi, who said, I think it's Rashi who says, that this story actually is after Matan Torah, mm-hmm. right? So then why, then that really drives home the question, like why in the world is this the introduction, this is the parak just before the story of Matan Torah? Very strange.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Before you said that, I was thinking like, oh, did Yitro need to like help establish that system of getting Eitzah? And only once that happened was like, okay, now you guys are equipped to be able to receive
good, Torah. Could be, right. So yeah. Questions. Yeah, that's possible also. Oh, but the other part is like, if they hadn't gotten the Torah yet,
what is all this stuff?
What are
the yeah, yeah. questions?
But isn't there an assumption that there was Torah? Like we talk about Yaakov learning Torah all day. Like,
yeah.
There's something.
Chazal, there was something that they had. But it's not, certainly not as sophisticated as the Torah that we have now. Mm-hmm. And they got some halachos. They got some halachos on their way out. Okay. Yeah, exactly. On their way out of Mitzrayim, they get some halachos. So there is what to say. And also there's probably personal conflicts are going on right, that Moshe is managing also.
Like the civil stuff.
There's plenty to manage. But again, why Kohen Midyan? Why so much Chosein Moshe? Why is this introduction to this entire story?
Also,
there's a lot of things.
No. Like thrown in there.
And son thrown in there. Really we find that a lot though. Like Yosef's son, we can have those moments when they tell us the names and why they're given the names. But yes, correct. It is. There's,
I guess it's
what to say just about that.
That it was such a massive event that like everybody heard about it. No, like it was a huge.
It's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just, living in Egypt.
I'm saying, mm-hmm. and that was
ah.
God did.
Yeah, like that.
It went throughout the whole. Like it was important.
Even
to know
Yisro heard.
That everybody in the world knew about this.
Yes. Good.
But everyone else was against Bnei Israel and only.
What's the
name? Israel came and said, okay, I'll be part of you.
Not everyone else wanted to come become Jews.
Right, but,
yeah, but
they had a lot of enemies.
They probably, but as far as we know, Chazal talked about this a lot, that no one else wanted to touch us except right. for Amalek because they were
right.
scared
Why
of us.
Why is there more background on Zipporah anyway if Moshe married? Even Esau's wives and concubines, the others of
yeah. We do know that she's Yisro's daughter.
Right.
That much
that's
we know.
Short
that's about it.
To
that's about it. And she also, you know, gives herself a bris milah when Moshe almost dies. But yeah, besides that, we don't have a lot about Sibor at all.
Right.
Very little. Very little. Yeah, correct. Good. Okay. So I want to focus a little bit on this Kohen Midyan story. Why so much of a focus on the fact that he's called Kohen Midyan? Why is that important? Why do we care about that? And I think looking at that question, which we're going to see a number of answers to this question, I think will also help expand this understanding of what this is really about, right? Why this story's here and what it's here to teach us. And there's a lot to say about this, but a few points I think will be very helpful. Okay, so take a look at source number two is the Orach Chaim HaKadosh. Orach Chaim HaKadosh writes the following, Vayishma Yisro, Tzorech L'das, we have to understand it, Le'eze Indian Yachasu B'yichus Kohen Midyan, She'ein Zumayla, El Yerida, says Orach Chaim. If I'm being honest, he says, calling him Kohen Midyan is not exactly a compliment. You're saying he is the priest of Avodah Zarah. Right? They weren't practicing monotheism in Midyan. So Kohen Midyan is not a Mila. It's a Yerida. It's a negative thing to say about him. Umin Haroi Rishono Lo Tizkarena. Right? What do we have a rule, actually? Chavetz Chaim talks about this a lot in Hilchos Lashon Hara. That when a person is involved in all kinds of things before in their life, but now they change, so a person's not supposed to say. And by the way, this is a real thing. It comes up like, "Hey, Josh, you were not from once. What's lobster takes like?" That's not a nice thing to say at a Shabbos table, right? Because maybe Josh wants to talk about it. I made that name. But Shmendrick. I don't know, whatever. Right? So Shmendrick may not want to talk about it because it's embarrassing to him, right? Shmendrick may offer that if he wants to offer it, but if he didn't offer it, you don't say that about somebody, right? So if that's true, so what do you, Kohen Minyan is like, that's like his past, right? Leave him alone. Why are you going after him like that? Vulai, so why is this? Ki echav in the shevach Ha'ish ba'omro kohei midyad lamar. Maybe it's a praise. Why? To say, shagam shahayu lo beiz bichinot harimuzot bekohei midyan. Meaning there are two things that are being about him that are being hinted to in calling him kohei midyan. Shehem heyoto rosh lemidyan. Right? He's in charge of Midyan. Ve'aduk la'avodazara. And he's also very involved in idolatry. Even though he had two things about him that were, you know, not necessarily so amazing, he has now done two things in the opposite direction. Keneged heyoto gadol, amar chotein Moshe. Right? He used to be, you know, a big gun in Midian. Well, now he's the father-in-law of the leader of the Jewish people, right? Who destroyed Mitzrayim. Shenechtan la'adam shelo noda lo gadu la'adayin. He's connected to a Moshe Benu, who again, no one really knew about Moshe. He's an important person now, but no one really knew about him. But davarze yakpidu alav, noagei sfara. Okay, so first of all, this is very interesting. What are we saying? We're saying Yisro was Kohen Midian, which means he politically had probably some type of position and religiously had some position, right? They didn't used to have a separation of church and state, right? That's a new thing. So he's an important guy. And who does he marry his daughter to? Moshe. Some Egyptian runaway who's actually a Jew. It's not exactly, it's from super duper yichis, Moshe Rabbeinu, right? So for us, it's super duper yichis. But for them, not, this is like a little embarrassing for him. And he didn't care, right? And he lets her marry him, okay? So, v'davar ze yakpidu alav noge svara. A lot of people would, you know, the people in positional leadership would not be into this. Vein tzarech lomar echad hamiyuchal lumato she yakpid latet bito ladam below shame. A lot of people would not get the nivet order to someone who's not doesn't have some type of chashivas. So that's number one. Ukenegit, that's a maila, right? So on the one hand, he's Kohen Midian, right? Head of Midian. On the other hand, he's Chotein Moshe, right? He's been willing to give
it. About this? Like about him marrying like Tzipora?
I mean, we know that he married, that Moshe married Tzipora. That we know, right? That's in the Torah. But I'm just saying that like, if he's this hush of a person, Moshe was a shepherd. He wasn't even a shepherd. He was a runaway.
So how did that come about?
She was a daughter, and he probably didn't care so much about him.
No, I feel like...
Rona is disagreeing with Arachaim, but what Arachaim Akadosh is saying is that that's not true. Exactly. Is that the fact that he didn't care and he wasn't makbid? You know, I get phone calls like this all the time. You know, like, what shear is the guy in? How well is he? I'm like, can we? Stop for a second.
You said, be Yitra.
I'm like, did you ask? I'm like, you didn't ask me. Sometimes I give Musar in these phone calls, not always, but sometimes. I'm like, you didn't ask me any of the, and always like, is everyone healthy? And I'm like, can you stop? So like, I was like, do you want to ask me any of the important questions? I'll tell you, he's super nice. He's going to compromise really nice. He's going to be a great father. He's a from guy, don't worry. And he, relax, right? The things that really matter. Right? But sometimes you get caught up in the nonsense, right? And Yisro didn't get caught up in the nonsense, right? And he was willing to let his daughter marry someone who wouldn't reflect so amazingly on him, right? Which is, people would use their children for that purpose, to make them feel chashuv, not because it's all good for her, but good for me. And he did the opposite. He found a nice guy, right? A guy who saved her at the well, right? And he was fine with that, okay? Okay, next. Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry.
This is your passion.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. I hate this. It makes me crazy. I have to be careful sometimes. Yeah. Okay. And what about the fact that he was like a Avodah Zarah guy? Kemashmud hamuvan mitevat kohen. Right? He's the kohen. Amar kasuf mash amar basofa inyan. Atayadati ki gadol Hashem mikol elokim. B'davar zeh ein bo chidish umayla gadola ba'amor kein goy echad lekovo b'torah. So the fact that some person understands that there's Hashem, first of all, that's very nice. But a regular person who, and he comes to see Hashem, wow, nice. Great, it's nice, wonderful. The guy who was the Kohen Midian, if the Pope would convert to Judaism,
it's a big deal.
Right. Mm-hmm. That would be a big deal. That would score one for the Jews on that one, right? That would be like, that would really, right? you know, like, or like, you know, whatever. Mahatma Gandhi, right, decides that he's not going to be into Hinduism, whatever, and become a God-fearing person. He believes in one God. That's a big score for monotheism, right? Mm-hmm. So the fact that he's Kohen Midian says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, it's not a negative about him. I mean, it is negative, but it's not. Because it's negative in the sense of, look where he came from, and look where he is now. Look at the choices that he's made since then. Very beautiful. So nice, right? And there's a big, right? Shekohen uma achas mehem ubahem ya'id al ki hevel yiftza pihem. He's saying, I was wrong all this time. Basically, let me say, like, what I did before, stuff I was in charge of, the thing I led. I remember when I was in Shalvim, we had a person come speak to us. If it made such an impression, I wish I remembered his name. Something, I think his last name, oh, I don't remember anymore. Anyways, he was, if you looked at him, he looked like a Haredi person, like almost like Hasidish. And when he opened his mouth, he sounded like he was from like a Southern Baptist minister. Mm-hmm. Because, but it's not, I'm sorry, he didn't sound like Southern Baptist, but he sounded, I forget, it was English? Maybe British. I think he was British, actually, sorry.
Slightly
but
different.
He didn't sound, sorry, but he didn't sound, when he opened his mouth, he did not sound like a Haredi Israeli person, right? And you're like, huh? And it turns out he was a priest living in, I think somewhere in Europe. Mm-hmm. And he started to do research about the Holocaust. And he went to some of his colleagues. And he asked them, like, "What? Why don't you guys do anything?" He may have even been living in Germany at this point. He wasn't German. But I forget where he was living, somewhere in Europe. And he went and asked some of the older clergy, like, what's the story with this? He's like, I didn't get any answers. And I started to like really question everything I've been doing. And he ended up converting to Judaism and became Haredi. And he lives somewhere like in B'nai Brak or something. But like that's what this is, right? Someone who threw it all away, was a leader, and throws it away and wants to become a Jew. Wow. Okay, so that's Aleph. So why Kohen Midian as a, right? Wow, look where we've come from here. Od Tam, another reason, Amro, Kohen Midian, Lamar Be'em Sa'ud Kein Hisik Ladas Kol Asher Asa Hashem. It's only through, this is beautiful, it's only through the experience of being a Kohen Midian that he was able to understand that which Hashem had done. Ki la anashim gedolim yitgalev yodea hako b'tzedek b'lo tosefet v'giraon masha'en ken l'she'enam rashut hagam sh'yodea lehem hachadashot lo yadu kol advarim hanasim. So he wants to say that being a person of leadership, right, gave him like maybe access to more information, access to like understanding world order, and like, I don't know if he means that he actually just like got more info because he was a leader, or he means that he understood better, right? That he, I know what it means to topple Mitzrayim, right? I know what it means to defeat Paro. That's a big deal, right? That's not something stam. That's something that he understood it more because of who he was.
Did everybody in the world just see this and hear about it and say, oh, their God is powerful, as opposed to that's the only God? Is that, like, I'm saying, how does everybody not look at that and say, that's the true God, I want to be with them?
That's a great question.
Right.
I don't know.
I think it's just so radical to think that way.
I guess.
Then no one thought of it. No one thought that
right,
way.
Right.
Right.
No one thought
everybody
that way.
Just stayed with their God and they're like, wow, he's a good one.
Yeah, this God, well, this God's really on the up and up. Yeah, this guy, you know, I'm going to invest in this God. Yeah. Yeah, no, but seriously.
I'm saying, like, all of Egypt didn't decide to convert to Judaism to that God when they saw by the way, that God did.
Because by the way, that's not how it works. Right? That's not how it works for Jews either. Right? Seeing a miracle doesn't change you who you are. You don't change yourself because of a miracle. We change ourselves after a long process of change and et cetera, right? We see the same thing with the Jewish people. They see God a million times and they still mess up over and over again, right? Because that's not, nobody changes from a miracle, right? But yes, there's definitely a lot in Chazal about like the reverberations of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the reverberations of Kriyas Yamsuf, the reverberations of Har Sinai, that like people were understanding what's happening. You even find it in Rachav, right? When the Meraglim come after the 40 years, the two Meraglim, right? The good Meraglim come to Rachav in the wall. So she says, like, everybody knows what's going on with you guys, right? Like we heard about you and we're afraid, right? But like clearly people were hearing. Hey, there's no social media, so it takes a while for them to get the information. But like they were hearing stuff about what was happening, right? So again, what does this mean? That he, you know, because he was a leader, he knew what leadership was and the destruction of a leadership, you know, that had more of an impact. Doesn't mean he had more information. But the bottom line is his status of Kohen Midian allowed this to have more of an impact on him. Fine. So that's why, according to the Rochaim, two reasons why he's the emphasis on Kohen Midan. Number one, because look where he came from and look where he now became. Or it had more of an impact because he had a broader perspective. Fine. Okay. Let's actually just skip the Chizkuni now because it says basically a very similar thing. It's not so new. Source number three is a sefer we've probably never quoted here. It's a sefer called Apir Yom from Shlomo Gansri. And Shlomo Gansri is more well known because he is the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. I think he died in like the early 1900s, I think. Source number four. So I found this actually. I was able to find the sefer. So he says the following: Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosein Moshe Mechora Mashakos of Kohen Midyan Nireh Ketzas Miutar. I don't. What do you need to tell me this for? Like, he's Kohen Midyan, okay. Venerally seems extra. Venerally, the Yishlomar, the Balatarets. He came to give an answer. Why? Kilech Ora Kasha. It seems to be a question. Eich Kiblu as Yisro LaGayir. How did they accept Yisro as a Gayir in the first place? Varei Aminu Yivamo. The Gemara Yivamo says, "Ein Meklabim Gayirim LiMos HaMashiach." That when Mashiach comes, no Gayirim. Why not? Sounds kind of harsh. So I'll give you examples. Keotzebo, lo kiblu geirim lo b'me David, v'lo b'me Shlomo. They didn't accept geirim either when David Melech and Shlomo Melech were reigning in Yerushalayim. Why?
Because they're not coming for the right purposes. Right,
because the concern was, yeah, you don't come now. The Jews are Jews are on top. The Jews are ruling the world. The Jews are great. Yeah, sorry, the Jews always rule the world, but right. I'm kidding. But right, with the Jews are on top, so we're nervous. You're not coming here to be part of our people. You're coming because we're doing great, right? Rabbi Soloveitchik used to talk about this, and this is not just Rabbi Soloveitchik, it's Gemara's, that when someone comes to become a ger, what do you say to them? You know that like the being a Jew is like bad. And you get, we're the worst, and everyone hates us, and like you cool with that? And you ask them that person actually as they're getting in the mikvah. You ask them that. Are you ready to take this on, right? And you have to say yes, right? And if not, then, and by the way, it's a warning. It's saying, you don't have to do this. You don't become one of us. If you become one of us, you're going to become on the bottom, like the rest of us, right? And so at a time when Am Yisrael is, and so certainly Moshe Mashiach is the great example of that, the whole world will see that there is one God, right? You know, there's Mr. Bean? So he has like this thing, like Rowan Atkinson?
Yeah.
So he has this like skit where he does...
He's a lot younger than us.
Yeah. You know this, Mr. Bean?
No, I do, but I'm talking about the same Mr. Bean.
Mr. Bean, so he has a spiel where he talks about going, when you arrive in hell. And so he has this thing where he's like, okay, it's like, who has to get in line? It's like, okay, all of the Christians become, yes, the Jews were right, you know. But we don't believe that anyways. We believe that everyone believes in one God. It's good. But I'm just saying, the point being that, right, Bayomahu, Yashem Echad, Shmo Echad, it's going to become clear to the whole world that Kadosh Baruch Hu is in charge of the world. Oh, now I want to become a Jew. No. That's not going to work anymore, right? So we won't accept the game. Fine. Okay, but if that's true, then what? Vahani Mishum Yesh Lachu, Shema Ein Kavanatam, Rak Davek Bi Yisrael, Ela Mishum Hatzlachatam. They're just joining us because you want to be part of a winning team, right? Not, you don't want to be a bandwagon fan?
Fair weather fan?
Whatever, yeah. Jump on the bandwagon.
Right.
A fair weather fan.
A fair weather fan jumping on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
To eat the bread.
Yes, yeah. Whatever, yes, there you go. Great. You don't want fair weather fans, right? So same question. How do Yisrael come and become a ger? You want to join the Jews now? Yeah, shkoyach. That's really easy. Why don't you join us 10 years ago? And that was, you didn't want to do that. So what's the answer? Aviyesh l'taretz, k'aminim b'yivamos, t'makshe eich g'yir shlomo l'bas paro. So Shlomo, during that time, buries bas paro. Bas paro, different bas paro, okay? Trivia question, how many bas paros converted to Judaism? The answer is two, according to the Chazal, okay? So how do you convert bas paro, right? What's the answer? V'halo kiblu geirim, lo meidav, lo meid shlomo. You couldn't accept geirim then. Meaning, she comes from Perish. You're nervous that she's going to come. Like, she wants to be great. She wants to be the best. She already is. She's a bas melech. She's a princess. Okay. She doesn't need it. Right? She's not coming to you to become great. She's already a princess. She has it already. She should become a queen. She become a queen already anyways. So v'egam Yisro harei minyan yoshid b'kvodo sha'olam. Right? Yisro is the head honcho over there. And so he comes ala midbar. Instead, he comes to the midbar. B'shifcho sha'yisro dibra, because the Torah is coming to give a shevach to Yisro. Right, he could stay where he was. He was great. He was the head honcho, and instead he comes to become part of the Jewish people. Kohen Midian. That's why they call him Kohen Midian specifically. Shayasham Harosh Kamosha Tatir Game Unglus Rabba de Midian. He was the head. Vayasha Bichvodo Shaolam Vashuv Ain Makom Lach Shoto. Valkain Balhikaya. And that's why he was able to convert. It's pretty. It's nice. It's cool. Right? We don't accept Gairim when we're doing great. So why call him Kohen Midian? Exactly that reason. He had nothing to gain. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need us. And that's why we take him. Right.
Can I ask one clarifying question?
Yeah.
This is not saying that, when you were first reading it, I thought it was saying that when Mashiach comes, converts are not going to be accepted into the Geula. But that's not what it is.
No.
It's just that we're saying you can't come convert when Mashiach comes.
You have to become a new convert.
Okay.
No, a person who's converted, they're like everyone else. Okay. Yisrael l'chol davar. Okay. They're totally 100% Jewish. Yes, we should not have any misconceptions here. Yeah. Okay. No, it means to now all of a sudden decide you want to become a Jew.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Excellent. Okay. Fine. Rav Hirsch, source number 5, writes, Ki otzi Hashem es Yisrael Mitzrayim, lat he had brought Yisrael forth to freedom through miracles that proclaimed his name in the world as Hashem, the one who shapes the future and freely rules over the world and over all that takes shape therein. That's what he saw, right? In contrast to Amalek, the reflective priest of Midian was drawn to God by these miracles and wonders, especially since he was Moshe's father-in-law, which gave him a special interest in these events. But what Rav Hirsch is pointing out is that what's the story just before this story? We read it last week. The story of Amalek. There's two different groups of people, right, who respond to Yetzias Mitzrayim. Amalek comes to attack. You're not special. Who do you think you are? Come to attack you. What's the very next story?
Someone
who does the opposite. Who says, no, everyone doesn't hate you. Mm-hmm. Everyone doesn't think that you're good for nothing. Rather, we tell the story of Yisro. This is not specifically Kohen Midian per se, right? But it can explain more the juxtaposition of the stories and why we start this story of Matan Torah with Yisro is maybe partly because it's more about juxtaposing it with the story of Amalek.
Yeah.
Right? That just like Amalek was this, oh my gosh, after all that, like now, already, everyone's coming after us. Yeah. And it's not everyone hates you. Someone just said this to me the other day. We were talking, we were running a program in Yeshiva called Being a Ben Torah in the Workplace. I mean, I told you about this before. Like we have like shiurim on about like what it's like to go out to work. So we have like guys who are out working, come back and speak to guys, you know, guys who are now alumni of the Yeshiva, come back and talk. We have Rebbeim giving shiurim on like, on some of the halachos, what to deal with in the workplace. So one of the guys just pulled me over today. He said, I still remember, we've been doing this for many years. He goes, I remember the first time I heard it. He goes, I was listening to two guys talk. They love the most is not the halacha. They love the most hearing from the students who talk about, former students, talk about their life now, out in the world. And he said, like, the fact that, like, he says, like, I can be standing in my office and I say Asher Yatzar and I'm trying to, like, say it quietly so no one notices me. And someone's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, actually, I'm thanking God that my body works normal. I can go to the bathroom. Yeah, I'm expecting like, yeah. And instead of, he's like, and most people respond like, cool. That's interesting. Not like, I hate you.
You've been doing this the whole time you lived here?
Yeah.
I was like, you didn't know that? He's like, no, that's wild.
That's amazing, right? That's so cool. Right? Yeah. And most people, most of them are not, don't hate you. Yeah. And I'm like, that's terrible. Like, why do they care? They think it's cool, yeah. Right? And like, but sometimes we think, right, we get so much in this like, the goyim all hate us. I don't call them the goyim, right? But like that, all hate us, right? It's not true. It's Amalek hates us, but there's a lot of people not like Amalek, right? And there's a Yisro also. And having that story there, and by the way, maybe as you're about to jump in to all these mitzvahs and all these responsibilities and all these things we're going to do now, I'm like, I don't know, this is going to be kind of hard. And the answer is, don't remember this, not everyone's going to hate your guts. Yeah. Some people will actually hear what you have to say and they'll come closer and they'll find it meaningful. And you're going to be able to do this job in the world.
Well, also, if you're talking about the juxtaposition of the two and why this parsha of Matan Torah is starting with Yitzro, I never thought about this, but like it kind of encapsulates like this theme of accepting all Malkut Shemayim. And here we have someone who like wasn't even part of this, and he's deciding to accept it.
How about you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a really powerful beginning.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, source number 6, the Oznam Torah. I promise you, I don't always have in mind to quote the Oznam Torah every single week, but he always says something so interesting, so I have to. So, okay, take a look at source number 6 from Saratskin. Kohen Midyan Choten Moshe. Yisro halach el Moshe. Acharei Asher Shama. Yisro comes to Moshe after he heard. Shitzliach b'mishlachto ligaol Yisro. He was successful. By the way, remember, who did Moshe go to before he left to go to Mitzrayim?
He said he was going to see about the welfare of his
family. Yeah, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Then he decides to take over and okay. save them from Egypt. But he's like the last person he sees, right? See you later, Abba. Mm-hmm. Handing out to save the Jewish people. He's like, let's see how that goes. And then he goes like, hey, it worked out. Good job, you know? Shkoyach. Okay? So he sees it was successful. Lebei Sipot. For two reasons he comes. Aleph, sorry, it's like kind of, it's not your eyes, it's blurry. Aleph, I was like, what's wrong with my eyes? No, I think it's blurry. Aleph, b'pnei shaya kohen midyan. Number one, because he was kohen midyan. V'amunato lo yishra be'enav v'chipes es Elohei emes. What does it mean he was kohen midyan? He was a spiritual person who was looking all the time to find the truth. U'mishasham es asher asa asham l'moshe l'yisrael v'esashoftim. Asher asa b'mitzrayim. Hechlit likabel alav et emunat Moshe. U'bnei Yisrael. So number one, right, again, this calling him a Kohen Midyan is like reflective of his like, almost like his spiritual interest and curiosity, right? That he's looking for the truth. So if you're going to find the truth somewhere else, I'll go find it somewhere else. If it's not where I am, I'll go find it somewhere else. Beis, lahavi al Moshe eishto v'esbanav. The other reason he came was to bring his family. Shigaru b'beis Yisrael acharei shaduchah, after she was sent away. V'heid lanu akasuv, l'shivcho shal Yitro, comes to praise Yitro. Shekodem kol, yatze al Moshe k'kohen Midyan. Initially he comes to Moshe as the Kohen Midyan. Harotel ashlich et gilulav ulukabel das Moshe v'Yisrael. Meaning, what's the ordering here? Kohen Moshe, Kohen Midyan, Choten Moshe. So first was, I'm coming to you as the person that I was originally, willing to rescind it, willing to get rid of it, right? Meaning, I'm coming to do both. But the first thing he does is say, like, I just want to tell you, I'm not just like the messenger, I'm not just bringing the family, which is nice to bring the family. But I am first telling you that I'm in as an individual, as the Kohen Midyan. Not because you're my son-in-law, not because I'm related to you, not because of any of that, because it's the right thing to do. That's what I believe in. Right? And there's a reflection of his, you know, I like this because it talks about the order. Right, that he first and foremost Kohen Midyan, and I'm throwing that away. Okay. Rabbi Soloveitchik has a very interesting piece here about this, and I wanted to show you one more idea, but we'll see if it's time. Rabbi Soloveitchik writes the following: Yishma Yisro, Jethro's arrival, his reception by Moses, the advice he gave, and his departure are related in this chapter, which immediately precedes the giving of the Torah. The war with Amalek is also recounted immediately prior to Matan Torah. Why are these incidents a prologue to Matan Torah? Again, Amalek, Yisro, why do these things come first? Yisro was a Gentile. Essentially, he was the Archbishop of Midian. He came to the Jewish camp with an open mind. He wanted to observe for himself what the Jews had accomplished and were about to engage in. He was so overwhelmed by their conduct that he renounced his paganism and embraced Judaism. Chazal did not describe Yisro as a saintly Gentile. Rather, he is portrayed as a decent person, whose positive reaction should have been emulated by other Gentiles who witnessed the exhibition of Matan Torah.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Why didn't other people come?
Crazy to me.
Good. And by the way, according to the way the Rav's saying it, it's almost like he's coming after Matan Torah. He's coming after Matan Torah, like, again, that was something that he heard about. Okay? This incident illustrates one possible reaction of a Gentile to Jews and Matan Torah. The Amalekites were also impressed with the Jews, but their reaction differed from that of Yisro. They believed that a nation which could defy Egypt and Paro, gain freedom from Paro, and defeat the Egyptian regime while having different laws from those which prevailed all over the world should be exterminated. That's a different response. Amalek came and attacked the Jews. The Jews had not threatened Amalek in any manner, yet Amalek attacked them anyways. This was the reaction to Matan Torah. Okay, they didn't really react to Matan Torah per se, but the reaction to the concept. In the biblical account, the presentation of the first set of tablets given to Israel at Mount Sinai was accompanied by tremendous fanfare. And the words, as opposed to second tablets, which come down just, you know, quietly. After Moshe comes down the last time. And the words of the shofar section of Rosh Hashanah prayers, with voices and thunder you revealed yourself to them, and to the sound of the shofar did you appear to them. God wanted the world to know that the Jews have received the Torah, and that the tablets contain a new moral code, a new outlook, and a new set of laws. It was not necessary for the other nations to accept this code. It was, however, crucial that they be aware of it. Why was this awareness among the Gentiles necessary? The purpose of the public spectacle of Matan Torah was so God could eventually convert the entire universe to become the residence of God. all will accept the reign of God. The time will come when the whole world must realize that the tablets given to Jews contain the truth, and it is worthwhile to accept them, just as the Jews accepted them so many years ago. The purpose of Matan Torah was not for the individuals, but to convert the entire cosmos, the whole universe, into a divine residence. By the way, not to make everybody Jewish, right, but to recognize one God. The Torah was The Torah was offered to everybody and must eventually be accepted by everyone. The truth is, if you just read what the Rav says, it sounds like it means they should all become Jewish.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Rav means that, because it can't mean that, because we don't believe that everyone should become Jewish. This offer, unless I'm wrong, I don't know. You're right, it does sound that way. I know it sounds like that. It's a good point. I didn't think about this just now. I was blinded as I read it the first time. Like, he doesn't mean that, but you're right. Maybe.
I'd be careful who sees this.
Let's keep reading.
It says into a divine residence.
Yeah, but then the Torah was offered to everybody and must eventually be accepted by everybody.
However, you could say, by the way, you could say what he means, and this is, I believe it is what he means. He means, like, in the Torah, the non-Jews are supposed to keep the Shavuot Mitzvah of the Noah.
Right, right.
Yeah. Right, like the Lubavitcher Rebbe, his next mission after, you know, slaying Shluchim everywhere was that it was sending people to teach the Noahide laws to non-Jews. And he believed in that also. So like, that's part of Mashiach, right? Is that all the nations of the world accept Shavuot Mitzvah and Noah. I think that's what he means. The offer was extended to every human being, yet the Jews were the only nation that took advantage of the offer. The Jews were sensitive, understanding the exaltedness and beauty of a life which is lived in compliance with the laws of the Torah. No other nation understood this concept. Still, God exposed all of humankind to this event to allow them the opportunity to accept it. Will humankind eventually accept this reality and ultimately realize the greatness of a Torah lifestyle? The Torah answers in the affirmative and offers a story of Yisro as a proof. In the eschatological era, this same event will occur on a universal scale. The Torah, however, also wants us to know that there are certain people who will never be converted. They understand that the Jew represents something unique, but the response to the realization is one of malice, vicious hate, and a desire to destroy. Amalek was the incarnation of evil and regarded Matan Torah in a completely different manner. He attacked us without provocation and for no reason, other than that we were a unique, separate entity. Amalek and their descendants will continue to react this way throughout history. The Gentiles will react to us in one of two ways, either as Yisro or as Amalek, and we must be prepared for both reactions. You can either have Mamdani, or you're going to have Huckabee. Right, you know, whatever you want to, give your examples, right? But like, the world is full of people who love the Jews and hate the Jews, and that's where we're going to be. But at least you shouldn't think they're both, right? And Yisrael comes sort of as the foil, says the Rav, to Amalek. Mm-hmm. But I want to just add one last point, which I think is really interesting. Rav Simchah Zissel Broyd in a sefer called Sam Derech, I couldn't find the sefer today, but he says something a little different, but not so different. He says this idea, Tayadati, right? That's what Yisro says. I realize now that there's one God, right? And how did Yisro know? So Rashi says, there was no Avodah Zarah that Yisro hadn't done. So on the one hand, that's like, not so nice to say, right? But the truth is, that's actually how we got there, right? He desired truth. He went through everything. He tried them all out, right? And he lands and says, this is what I want. And reciprocally, what Rebbe wants to argue is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was actually trying to highlight by Yisro is his curiosity and desire to find the truth. And in fact, we find the same thing about Moshe Rabbeinu. Right? When Moshe Rabbeinu is at the sneh, at the burning bush, what does the pasuk say? Vayar Hashem kisar liros. Hashem saw that he turned to look, meaning, I'm calling out to Moshe, 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 and Moshe could have walked by. And instead, he stops and to pay attention. There's a lot of Moshe looking and noticing, right? But the point being, Kisar Liros, is that God wants someone who is curious and interested and investigative. A person wants to look and find out and figure out. And that itself has a value. And that the reason why he highlights Yisro is to highlight that exact point. I told you the story before, I think, about this woman who grew up not religious at all. And she ended up, like, she went to Berkeley, and then she ends up going to religious study. She ends up like in a monastery, and who knows where. Tried lots of different religions. Every ism, she figured, she tried them. And she gets a phone call that her like father's sick, so she has to go back to America. She goes back to America, and she's there already, and she's on the East Coast. And her friend says, "Do you want to come to a seder, a Hasidic seder?" And she's like, cool, right? Because she's this type of person. She goes, no problem. She goes to Crown Heights, to a Seder, for like this huge Seder for women, okay? And she's at the Seder, and she's experiencing it, and who walks in to say hello? the Lubavitch Rebbe. So he comes in, he says hello, he doesn't talk to her, he just like, she's just like, but she's like wowed by seeing him. And she decides to stay in Crown Heights. She stays there for a while, she ends up part of the seminary, she's learning fine. So at some point she says, I gotta get my courage to like write a letter to the Rebbe. I gotta introduce myself to him. So she writes a letter and she tells her whole story. She says, I went to this thing and I did Buddhism and I tried Hinduism and I tried Islam and I tried all these different things. And like and she sort of writes, like, and I feel like I wasted my life like for 3-4 years, like trying, and until I finally got here and I realized it's been sitting waiting for me the whole time. I'm Jewish and it's all waiting for me. So the Rebbe writes back to her. He says, there's a Gemara that says, if a person says, lo yagati umatzati, I didn't work hard and I found something, I got, you know, what I wanted, al tamen, don't believe them. And they say, yagati v'lo matzati, they say, I tried hard and I didn't get anywhere, don't believe them either because they worked hard. The Gemara says, yagati umatzati, tamen. A person says, I worked hard and I got there, you should believe them. And the Rebbe says, you had 3-4 years of yagia, of trying to figure out where to go. And it's because of that that you've derived that you're a mitziah. You have, and he said, you have a greater mitziah because you were trying so hard to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And the woman said, in one sentence, the Rebbe took my whole, all these years of like all this guilt I had about like all the things I did to try to like figure it out and felt bad about, and he turned it into yagati, right? He turned it into like, right? And she felt like, okay, it wasn't a waste. It was my journey. Right, to try to figure it out. I read this idea and I was like, this is exactly the same story, right? This is Yisro. Yisro is, there's nothing he didn't do. And so why do we highlight him? Maybe, perhaps, one of the arguments is for the same exact reason. That we all, like, we're trying to figure our way through, right? And sometimes we feel like, oh, everything that I did before was like a waste because I didn't, now I finally arrived at whatever, first of all, we never arrive, right? It's all a journey, the whole journey, the whole life is the journey. But that sometimes it's actually that, at some, that, curiosity and willingness to try and to try again and to get up again and to try another time and another time and another time, that itself is the goal, right? And Yisro is a great example of that. Guys, how old was Yisro? We don't know. Old. He's Moshe's father-in-law. Moshe's 80 years old. So Yisro's old. When he, I don't know, he's 100. I don't know how old he was. He was about, at least he was the same age, right? He's an old guy, right? So Yisro's life could have been all a wash. It wasn't a wash. He's the Parsha's named after him. Right? At the end of the day, because at the end of the day, that was part of his journey to find his way that way. So and so perhaps that's also the argument that the Kohen Midyan there of Yisro is for the same reason. And we saw that a lot of these pshat, right? Are that purpose to show a person who's willing to say, you know what? I know I've had this a certain mindset all along, but I'm willing to shift. I'm willing to grow. I'm willing to change a little, do a little more, whatever it's going to be. And that when we do that, who knows, you might get the Torah, a parsha named after you.
So it's all Shevach.
So all Shevach. Which